Welcome, Dr. David Carlberg.
Thank you,
Dave. Our scripture reading for this morning is Romans chapter 16, verses 1 through 16, a passage that you probably would not think that a guest preacher is going to come and use for the text of a sermon. But this will be our text for the sermon today. Romans chapter 16, verses 1 through 16. I am going to use the New International Version for my reading. I say older because, unfortunately, there have been some changes put in the New International Version. But the older version I still appreciate very much, and a number of my seminary professors had a hand in doing the New International Version. Hear the word of God. I commend to you our sister Phoebe, a servant of the church in Centuria. I ask you to receive her in the Lord in a way worthy of the saints, and to give her any help she may need from you. For she has been a great help to many people, including me. Greet Priscilla and Aquila, my fellow workers in Christ Jesus. They risked their lives for me. Not only I, but all the churches of the Gentiles are grateful to them. Greet also the church that meets at their house. Greet my dear friend Epaphras, who was the first convert to Christ in the province of Asia. Greet Mary, who worked very hard for you. Greet Andronicus and Junius, my relatives who have been in prison with me. They are outstanding among the apostles, and they were in Christ before I was. Greet Ampliatus, whom I love in the Lord. Greet Urbanus, our fellow worker in Christ, and my dear friend Stachys. Greet Apelles, tested and approved in Christ. Greet those who belong to the household of Aristobulus. Greet Herodian, my relative. Greet those in the household of Narcissus who are in the Lord. Greet Tryphena and Tryphosa, those women who work hard in the Lord. Greet my dear friend Persis, another woman who has worked very hard in the Lord. Greet Rufus, chosen in the Lord, and his mother, who has been a mother to me too. Greet Asyncritus, Phlegon, Hermas, Petrobus, Hermas, and the brothers with them. Greet Philologus, Julia, Nereus, and his sister, and Olympus, and all the saints with them. Greet one another with a holy kiss. All the churches of Christ send greetings. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, please help us now in reference to the Word of God that we have just read. Help us to be interested in this message. Please open our hearts to receive some truths from your word. Please change our lives. Please be here in your grace and in your mercy. And we pray all of this, Heavenly Father, for your honor. And we pray to you through the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Today we are going to have a message on those 16 verses that we have just read from Romans chapter 16. Somebody has said in reference to the entire chapter, Romans 16, that it is one of the most instructive chapters of the New Testament. One of the most instructive. Here's an outline for Romans chapter 16. We can divide it up into four parts. Part one, personal greetings. Part two, a warning concerning divisive people. Number three, further greetings from believers who are with Paul. And then last, a doxology. Or we may express the content of Romans 16 in this way. Some friends to greet, some foes to avoid, some servants to honor, and a God to praise. This morning, once more, we are going to spend our time with verses 1 through 16, and verses 1 through 16, well, they're about some friends to greet, or Paul's personal greetings. There will be 3 points to our study of Paul's personal greetings, and point number one is this. What can we learn from Paul's greetings of various friends? What can we learn from this? Romans 16, verses 1 through 16, where Paul greets various friends, I think we can say is a remarkable 16 verses. In them, Paul greets, I have read, 24 people by name, as well as 2 unnamed saints, and he also greets several churches that were meeting in homes. The significance of that is this. Paul, someone has said, was a friend maker as well as a soul winner. From your studies of Paul in the past, you'll remember that a very important part of Paul's ministry was evangelism, telling people about and leading people to the Lord Jesus. Acts chapter 9, verse 15. This man, referring to Paul, is my chosen instrument to carry my name before the Gentiles and their kings and before the people of Israel. A very important part of Paul's ministry was evangelism. Today, we want to see that Paul was also very much a friend maker. Paul did not live, quote, an isolated life. He had friends in the Lord, and he appreciated them. I won't read all 16 of our verses once again to have you see this, but let me give you a feel for this by reading some of the verses once more. I'll start with verse 3 of chapter 16. Greet Priscilla and Aquila, my fellow workers in Christ Jesus. Verse 5. Greet also the church that meets at their house. Greet my dear friend Epaphras, who was the first convert to Christ in the province of Asia. Greet Mary, who worked very hard for you. Greet Andronicus and Junius, my relatives who have been in prison with me. Verse 8. Greet Ampliatus, whom I love in the Lord. Greet Urbanus, our fellow worker in Christ, and my dear friend Stachys. Greet Apelles, tested and approved in Christ. Greet those who belong to the household of Aristobulus. Paul made friends. He had friends in Rome. He had friends in Corinth, from where he wrote Romans. He had friends in Ephesus. He had friends in Philippi. He had friends in Thessalonica. He had friends in Berea. He had friends in Antioch. He had friends in Jerusalem. Paul had friends in the Lord, and he appreciated them. And he had them help him personally, and he was a help to them. Warren Wiersbe has written, "In my reading of Christian biography, I've read a lot of Warren Wiersbe, and Warren Wiersbe has read a lot of Christian biography. In my reading of Christian biography, I have discovered that the servants of God that he has used the most were people who could make friends. How about you? Are you a friend maker? Are you a blessing to others and allow others to bless you? Or do you basically live a secluded life? We need other people, and other people need us. Solitary confinement is not a positive thing. It's a negative. It's a punishment because we need one another. Not too long ago, I was paging through a Christian magazine, By Faith. And as I was paging through it, I came across this quote. The scriptures show us repeatedly that we're not made to live in isolation. End quote. This is what I want to leave with you from our first point. We will be better Christians if we have good Christian friends. Almost doesn't sound like something from the Bible. You're just being a social psychologist right now. No, this is in the Bible. We will be better Christians if we have good Christian friends. The latest issue of Table Talk, I was looking at it last night. It's for the month of March. And one of the articles deals with the idea that things that God gives us to encourage us in our walks with him. And the article brought up the Word of God, brought up the Holy Spirit, brought up prayer. And do you know what else it brought up? Friends. I kid you not. Again, doesn't sound very spiritual. Word of God, Holy Spirit, prayer, friends. But we are being taught, I believe, in Romans chapter 16, that we need other people. Other people need us, and we will be better Christians if we have good Christian friends. The Bible refers to us as sheep. Sheep flock together. Let's be a flock, particularly right here. Point number two. Point number two is, what did Paul mean when he said to the Roman believers in verse 16, greet one another with a holy kiss? Paul himself has just sent personal greetings to the Roman believers, and now he tells them to greet one another with a holy kiss. How were they, and how are we to understand that? But by the way, Paul gives this instruction to believers in at least three of his other letters. Peter, in his letter of 1 Peter, I believe gives us the answer to our question. Look with me at 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 14. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 14. The Word of God here reads, greet one another with a kiss of love. Paul's kiss of greeting, in my opinion, is a greeting of love. Paul is telling the Roman believers, and I think God is saying to us this morning, that we are to express love for each other, starting with our greeting of each other. We are to have love for one another. Over and over in the Bible, God has called us to that. 1 Thessalonians 3:12. May the Lord make your love increase and overflow for each other and for everyone else, just as ours does for you. 1 Thessalonians 4:9. Now about brotherly love, we do not need to write to you, for you yourselves have been taught by God to love each other. Over and over, the Lord God calls us to love in His Word. Paul now says we are to express this love in our greeting of one another. If we don't do it in our greeting, will we do it at other times, in other ways? But Pastor, what if I don't really connect with, let's think of the church. What if I don't really connect with a certain person in the church? What if I don't particularly enjoy a certain person in the church? Well, look with me at 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 26. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 26 reads, greet all the brothers with a holy kiss. William Hendrickson, the commentator, has written, believers will not deliberately omit kissing those whom they do not happen to like. They will love even those whom they do not like. The holy kiss is for all the members. We may not connect that well with another person in our church. We may not particularly enjoy that much another person in the church. We may not want to go on vacation with that particular person. However, we are to love. We are to love that person. Point one, we're to be friend makers. We are to have friends. We are to make friends, appreciating one another, helping one another, being a blessing to one another. Point two, and we are to love. We are to love one another and express that right away in our greeting of one another. Do you remember when our Lord Jesus was invited to Simon the Pharisee's house for a meal? Luke chapter 7. When the Lord Jesus arrived, Simon the Pharisee, we read, did not give the Lord any water for his feet, and he did not give the Lord a kiss. Do you know what that conveyed? No love. Simon not only expressed a lack of courtesy to the Lord Jesus, he also expressed a lack of love for the Lord Jesus. We are to love one another, and Paul, under the inspiration of God, at least four times in his letters, went on to say that we should express that love in our greeting of one another. In some way, it was the custom back then to kiss. In some way today, in our greeting of one another, we should communicate Christian love. I was on the golf course, believe it or not, a few weeks ago during one of those warm spells. I was playing by myself, but a fellow believer that I have gotten to know at the golf course was also playing. He was maybe 200 yards away, but he saw me. He was with two other fellas. He left his clubs. He walked all the way over to where I was, completely different hole, different fairway. He put his arms around me and he expressed Christian love. And it was a real testimony to those other men what takes place with Christians. In some way, In our greeting of one another, we should communicate Christian love. Let me close this point in this way. Are you aware that in the early Christian church, they had a time in their worship services when the people greeted one another with a kiss at a point in the service? Someone has said that it took place at the conclusion of the prayers they prayed. R.C. Sproul has said that it took place at the conclusion of the Lord's Supper, but the worshipers would greet one another, according to their custom at that time, with a kiss, persons of the same sex kissing each other. I've read that the kiss still has a part in the worship service of the Eastern Orthodox Church. So let us love one another and in some way communicate that we do in our greetings. Point number three from Romans chapter 16, verses 1 through 16 is, what are some important side truths that are found in Paul's personal greetings? Some important side truths. There are a number of them. I will call your attention to just three. Here it is. A, I want you to notice in our text the hard work and great help of women in the church in Paul's day. The hard work and great help of women in the church in Paul's day. Verses 1 and 2 mention a Phoebe, and they say about her that she is a servant of the church in Centuria. And she has been a great help to many people, including me, says Paul. I have read that Phoebe was also, no doubt, the one who carried the letter of Paul to the Romans, to the believers in Rome from Corinth. Phoebe, a great worker. Then a Priscilla is mentioned in verses 3 and 4 as a fellow worker in Christ Jesus and one to whom all the churches of the Gentiles are grateful. Verse 6 lists a Mary. Verse 12, a Tryphena and a Tryphosa and a Persis, all who work hard in the Lord. And the Greek word for work hard there carries the idea strong exertion. Alongside of Phoebe, 9 of the 26 persons greeted in Romans 16, 1 through 16 are women. Women, once more, worked hard and were a great help in the church in Paul's day. And women, of course, should be of great help to the church of Jesus Christ today. Women are saved by Christ. Women are part of Christ's kingdom. Women are spiritually gifted by Christ to have a role in Christ's kingdom. Women are to be faithful stewards of their gifts for the glory of Christ in His church. Women are very important in Christ's kingdom. Yes, the Bible does teach that men are to be the elders and deacons in the church. But women are very important and have an important part to play. And so I want to say, may the ladies here, young and older, work hard and be of great help to the Church of Jesus Christ because of what we read in Romans chapter 16. And then B, or second, as far as some additional truths. B. Notice that there were a number of local churches in Rome in Paul's day. There was not just one church that was it. One found more than one church in Rome in Paul's day. Verse 5 tells us of a church that met at the house of Priscilla and Aquila. Verse 14 tells us of another house church. Notice verse 14 of Romans chapter 16. Greet Asyncritus, Phlegon, Hermas, Petrobus, Hermas, and the brothers with them. Verse 15 mentions still another local church. Perhaps as many as five house churches are mentioned in verses 1 through 16. Multiple churches existed in Rome, and that says this to me. Multiple churches exist today in Johnstown and in LaValle and Cumberland, Maryland. We are not the only church where we are. In God's grace and by God's power, one finds more than one church in LaValle and in Cumberland, Maryland. And we need to recognize that and pray for one another and encourage one another and help one another and even at times work with one another. Look at the end of verse 16 of Romans 16. All the churches of Christ send greetings. There's a recognition by other churches of Christians and churches, plural, in Rome. A recognition and a love. We need to recognize that we are not the only church. I need to do that once again as far as Johnstown goes. All of you need to do that as far as this area goes. We need to recognize that and pray for one another and be caring in reference to one another, etc. And then see, I want you to notice that being a Christian will be hard, will be difficult at times. In verse 4, we read that Priscilla and Aquila risked their lives for Paul. In other words, they laid down their own necks for Paul. In verse 7, we see that Andronicus and Junius went to prison with Paul. In verse 11, we find the name Narcissus. John Calvin and others tell us that this Narcissus was executed by order of Nero's mother. My guess is he lived such a life for Christ that he was a person who just convicted Nero's mother. Convicted her to the point where she ordered that he be put to death and his goods confiscated. Being a Christian is hard at times. 1 Timothy 3:12. In fact, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. Philippians 1:29. For it has been granted to you on behalf of Christ not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for him. There's a cost to being a Christian. But somebody years ago said this to me, but David, remember this. Cost what it may, it is worth the cost. There is nothing better, there is nothing greater than being a believer in and follower of the Lord Jesus. So, let us endure hardship like good soldiers of Christ Jesus. Let us endure with joy. Let us endure with thanksgiving for the eternal life that we have in Christ. Perhaps you have looked at Paul's personal greetings in Romans chapter 16, verses 1 through 16 before, and have gotten nothing out of them. I probably have. I probably have read quickly through them as I was reading through the Bible in a year and just moved on. But this part of God's Word is fruitful too. It also has gold in it for us. Remember, this is part of, quote, one of the most instructive chapters in the entire New Testament, end quote. Today, we have seen these things. We're to be friend makers. We need other people. Other people need us. We're to make friends. We're to love one another. And we're to express that love in our greetings of one another. In some way, we're to greet each other with genuine, sincere, godly love. Women are very important in the Church of Jesus Christ. We are not to see Faith Church as the only church in LaVale. There are others, and we are to recognize that and be in prayer for them. And being a Christian will be hard at times, but cost what it may, it is worth the cost. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, please, if what has been explained is true to your word, take your word then. Take these truths and bring them into our lives and into the churches represented here. Oh, Heavenly Father, may we flesh out what we have just studied today. And we pray once again through your Son, the Lord Jesus, and for your glory. Amen. We'll close by singing Guide Me, O Thou Great Jehovah, number 598. Please stand.